recap of Sunday's readings, it's time for Homily Highlights on Mater Dei Radio.
And today's homily highlight from Monsignor John Syak, pastor at Christ the King Church in Milwaukee.
Well, today we celebrate the two apostles, Peter and Paul. And it's one of the rare times we get to see red on a Sunday. And it's because of the importance of these two men that we have a whole feast day for them. And that they also were part of the great first persecution of the Christians in Rome. And tomorrow is when we celebrate the rest of those martyrs who had witnessed so bravely. And I was thinking about with this feast, the many years I would assist the Holy Father in St. Peter's Square for this Mass. This is the last big papal Mass before everybody leaves Rome for the summer. Because one of the things you don't want to be in the summertime is in Rome. It's super hot. A lot of times it's the only time we can get there, but most of the people that live there, they take off after that. But the Mass that happens in the piazza of St. Peter's, underneath that piazza, is on the remnants of Nero's circus, which we'll hear about a little bit more in a minute. And then you think about, I was thinking about, as a papal master of ceremonies, we're all given, each papal master of ceremonies is given a group of cardinals that we're supposed to take care of. So if they come to Rome on business or whatever, and they have a Mass and they need help with that, their papal master of ceremonies would assist them. And so I had about 25 cardinals I took care of. And one of them I got with is Cardinal Mauro Piacenza. He's a wonderful cardinal from the city of Genoa in northern Italy. And his church in Rome was the Church of Tre Fontane, which is in Italian is the Church of the Three Fountains. And that's at the site where St. Paul was executed. And as the tradition goes, when he was executed, beheaded, his head bounced three times and there's three springs that sprung up there. But it really drives home the fact is that when we remember these two men, is like, these are actual places. These are actual men who did actual things. And the reason why we believe has a lot to do with what they did and who they were. It's a very important feast. We owe a lot to Peter and to Paul. And so let's just take a minute to consider these two guys. First, let's go Simon, son of John. If we read the scriptures, what do we get? What picture do we get of this man? Well, he's a warm-hearted family man from a small fishing village in the north of Galilee, which is kind of the backwater of the Holy Land. He's hardworking, he's believing, he's impetuous, he's vacillating, he's honest, he's blustering, he's loyal, and he's not particularly well-educated. You know, he's the kind of man that one might meet anywhere. Probably the kind of man that you'd like to have as a friend. And had Peter not been called by Christ to be the first pope, to be first among the apostles, he would have probably just lived quietly among his family and neighbors, unknown and happy that way, not looking for more than to do his work honestly and to practice his faith. Whatever his faults and failings, which we know about, he's a good man. But he's not really the stuff of greatness. Now, Paul, on the other hand, is very different. He has all the marks of greatness about him. He's born a Roman citizen. He's born into the privilege of the empire and the cosmopolitan city of Tarsus. He's a brilliant scholar. He's a member of the respected sect of Pharisees. Already as a young man, he has become the student and the protege of the greatest rabbi of his time and arguably one of the greatest rabbis in the Jewish tradition, and that's Gamaliel. Paul, he's known and trusted by the ruling council in Jerusalem. He has distinguished himself among his peers by his zeal for the law of Moses and the covenant and his love for the ancestral traditions. He's intelligent, he's passionate, he's zealous, he's convinced of the truth. He's tender-hearted, he's idealistic, and he's got a load of energy. Now, had Paul not been called by Christ, he probably certainly would have made his mark on the world in one way or another. You see how different these guys are. And as we compare these two men, so important to our faith, so important to our link to Christ, we could easily conclude that Jesus, having called them, would give the task of guiding his church to which guy? Paul. He's got the credentials for it. He's got the character for it. You give Peter a role, maybe more obviously in keeping with his background and his talents. But our blessed Lord had different plans for these two. And as so often when he calls, his choice falls upon those who seemed not to have the gifts nor the inclination to do what he asks. Have you felt like that in your vocation ever? I have. There's sometimes I felt like I'm not particularly suited for this calling. And I can share with you too, I didn't have the inclination to be a priest until he called me. So we can have those moments in our life. So it makes these men so relatable. And the Lord likes doing this in the way he calls, calling and equipping the one not very well suited for the task in order to show them that they could not succeed on their own, but only by his grace. This is what he does with us too. He does it with me as a priest. There is no way I could be a priest without his grace. I'm reminded of that time and time and time again. And so we find that Simon, that a man tempted to uncertainty, even to the point of betraying his master out of fear, is given the unlikely name of Kepha, Peter, rock, and told that he will be the edifice of strength upon which Christ's church is built. And Paul, think about what he's thinking about when the Lord calls him. Paul is zealous for all the ways of his fathers, even to the point of persecuting the Christians, deeply and ardently embedded in the Jewish tradition and the covenant. He will be given the unlikely task of going to those outside the law of Moses, those he naturally would have scorned, to fight a long battle on their behalf for their entrance into the Jewish Christian faith. Who could have predicted such futures for these guys? And this is what brings us to the point. The encounter with Christ changes destinies, and the gift of the Holy Spirit transcends human possibilities. What is he working to do in your life? Do you feel just very ordinary, like Peter? Do you feel ill-equipped for your vocation? Well, then you're in really good company with Peter and Paul. And look what the Lord did in their lives and through them. Now, after their long labors, Peter working mainly among the Jews, Paul laboring intensively among the Gentiles, these two champions of Christ are united in the great city of Rome. That's why Rome is important. That's why we're Roman Catholic. It's because who went there and died there, preaching and teaching? Peter and Paul. And they are united in that great city. And the Emperor Nero has decided, in his egomania, to destroy part of old Rome and to rebuild on its ruins a new and glorious city that will be called by his name. And so he sets fire to that part of the city and burns down most of it. And the population of Rome is outraged by that. And so the emperor has a convenient scapegoat. He blames the Christians. He has them rounded up and has devised torturous deaths for them in his circus. Really demonic sort of stuff. Dipping Christians in pitch and using them as human torches in his garden. Having them thrown to the wild beasts or the gladiators in his circus. And that's where St. Peter dies, crucified, upside down. Because as the tradition goes, that he was not worthy to die in the manner of his master. St. Paul, being a Roman citizen, can't be handled in such a cavalier way. So he's judiciously taken outside the city and beheaded. These two men, so different in their background, their temperament, and their gifts, so closely united in their love for Christ and in zeal for his kingdom, are now united in their manner of death. These two men these two apostles are such an encouragement for us. See how the Lord called them and formed them into the saints that they are. He wants to do that with us because the encounter with Christ changes destinies, and the power of the Holy Spirit transforms human possibilities. And he wants to do that in us.
And that is today's homily highlight. That is Monsignor John Syak, pastor at Christ the King Church in Milwaukee. And if you would like to listen to that again or any of our great locally produced shows, listen to the podcast. You'll find them on the Hail Mary Media app or on our webpage at materdayradio.com.